Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with our listeners again today. Have the opportunity to come back together again, open up God's Word, and study a little bit further, dig a little bit deeper, learn a little bit more, and thereby grow in our faith. Because, as we keep emphasizing, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We encourage you, if you're in the Omaha area, to come and see us in person. Check us out. Get to know us. Let us get to know you. Study God's Word with us. Worship God with us. And let's grow spiritually together. Now, many of our radio listeners have done that over the years, and many have stayed on with us. We'd love to get to know you and let you get to know us. So our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha, 3606 North 108th Street. And Bible classes begin on Sunday mornings at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study at 6 o'clock each Sunday evening. And then on Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, good time to get our spiritual batteries recharged, so to speak, each Wednesday evening, 6:30. We come back together for midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services. We'd love to meet you soon. Now, we encourage you to tell others about the program. And also, if you cannot always listen or you know other people you would like to get into the program, but they can't listen at the prescribed times, even though we're on several times a day, Monday through Friday, go to our website, churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com, click on the podcast button, and sign up for our podcasting. It's absolutely free, always will be free. And when you do that, or when your friends do that, or your family members, they will automatically receive this radio program 5 days a week, right to their smart device, their phone or computer or whichever one they choose. But they'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching every day on a regular basis, and again, always for free. So tell everybody you can. Churchofchrist.com. Now, I want us to get back into our line of thought and study. We are still studying in the general series under the broad umbrella that I've entitled Heart Troubles. And we're, again, not talking about our physical heart and our chest. We're talking about heart problems from a spiritual perspective. So we've talked about a whole lot of them already. Anger, hatred, envy, arrogant pride, unforgiveness, and on and on and on. In this particular section of our study, we're talking about selfishness. And I want to go back to Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, as kind of a base text for this particular part of our study. The Apostle Paul wrote there, Romans 15, beginning with verse 1, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or opinions of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." You might say, "I don't understand. I don't see the word selfishness in there at all." It's not there. But the principle is, we then who are strong ought to bear with the opinions of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, or building up, or strengthening, or encouraging that particular brother in Christ. Now, what's the definition of selfishness? It is being focused on your own interests, your own desires, your own needs, at least perceived needs, your own wishes as being more important, or maybe even most important, while ignoring those interests, desires, needs, wishes of others. It is to be self-seeking, self-centered, self-interested. We can throw in egotistical and egocentric. Well, so you see, when you think about the definition or the descriptive identity of selfishness, and then compare it to what the Apostle Paul instructed in Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, he says, bear with the opinions of the weak. In other words, don't force all of your thoughts that are not necessarily written down in Scripture. I mean, you know, you got to do it my way or no way. No, you understand. You're talking about Christians who are growing in their faith, and so be thoughtful, be considerate of their opinions, if they're not scriptural, in a loving, patient, kind way, teach them about their mistake in understanding. He identifies them as being weak brethren. And then he says, not to please ourselves. See, to please myself, focused on what I want, my interests alone, that's selfishness. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to that neighbor's or that fellow Christian's edification or building up, strengthening, encouraging, encouragement. So there's the principle of selfishness. And I use the illustration that parents will often teach their young children. They're playing with their toys. Another young child, maybe a brother or sister, comes along and sees a toy they want, and they pick it up. They start playing with it. Now, the other one was not even playing with that one. They're playing with another toy. But they see brother or sister pick up one of their toys, and they become angry. They reach out and grab it back, try to pull it away, maybe hit their brother or sister, maybe start crying, losing control. And then mom or daddy, they come over and they say, no, 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 don't be selfish. You got to share. And so sharing is the opposite of selfishness. It's giving up to some degree, at least for the moment, what you want and helping somebody else with what they think they want or need. You're sharing. Okay. Now, we looked at about three scripture texts that use the phrase selfish ambition or selfish ambitions. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, Paul warned the congregation at Corinth that when he would be coming back to visit with them, that he was afraid he was not going to find them the way he wanted them to be in their Christian character as a congregation of the Lord's church. And he said, because of that concern of mine, I'm afraid you're not going to find me the way you want me to be. You know, we both would like to come together and just have, you know, Christian hugs and just rejoice at being back together, but I'm afraid I'm going to come back and find you in need of some discipline, of some correction, maybe some rebuke. And I'm afraid you're, you know, going to miss that, again, hugs and tears of joy and all that when I come back. You're going to find me coming back in a disciplinarian kind of way, at least to some extent. And right in the middle of that list, he says, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, selfishness, right in the middle of that list. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to find these kinds of ungodly, unchristian, sinful behaviors that I'm going to need to straighten out among you within the congregation. And right in the middle of that list is selfishness. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We read that, and here the Apostle Paul wrote, he begins by identifying everything he's about to list, to put down in this list coming, as works of the flesh. He says, the works of the flesh. Now we're talking about sinfulness, worldly living, worldly behaviors, ungodly behaviors. He says they're evident. And which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Again, right in the middle of this list, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he says, if these behaviors, these kinds of behavior styles are characteristic of your life, even though you call yourself a Christian, he said, you're not going to be in heaven. And right in the middle of that list again is selfishness, selfish ambitions. But then he also included at the end of the list a catch-all phrase, and the like. Any other kind of behavior that could be characterized generally in the same kind of frame of reference as these other ungodly, sinful practices and behaviors that he does lay out specifically. Now, we looked at Philippians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 as we closed last time. And here, Paul is in prison. He's in prison in Rome as he writes this particular letter to the church at Philippi. This is called one of the prison epistles because he was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church there. So he writes, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition. Now, if we took some time to read the fuller context of Scripture there in Philippians chapter 1, leading up to verses 16 and 17, he's talking about while he's been in prison, he's been allowed by the Roman authorities to still teach and preach the gospel to anybody who would come to visit him as a prisoner. So he's been spreading the word, and people have become Christians. And he talks about how brothers within the church in that area, seeing how God has been able to use him to continue to teach, even though he is incarcerated, they become more bold to teach and preach themselves. But he said some of them, however, are doing so, they're preaching from selfish ambition. Their idea, and we're talking about selfishness there, their idea is to gain a following, to gain prestige, maybe to gain some power, and probably in many cases to make money, a lot of money. We see preachers like that today, don't we? Who they will identify themselves as gospel preachers, preachers of the Bible. Now, a lot of times they don't seem to really preach much Bible. You know, has been my, you know, observation. They, you know, tell a lot of stories. They get loud. They wax eloquent, sort of. You know, they talk about, yeah, they use, you know, they use illustrations of life and all that. They just don't teach much Bible. But they want to gain a following. And within that following, for a lot of them, a big motive is they're going to make a lot of money. They're going to be looked up to. They're going to gain a following. They're going to be to have prestige. They're going to look big, not just to the church, but they're going to look big to local authorities around them, to people in the neighborhoods, to people in the city. Maybe they even might even get national notoriety as they go on the news, national news from time to time. Well, if you're teaching the truth and people are recognizing that and your motive is pure, I just want to help people get to heaven. And that's what we keep emphasizing here on Search the Scriptures. Then if other people recognizing that, that's fine. All the glory goes to God. But a whole lot of people are glory seekers, and they want glory for themselves. And so Paul says, yeah, there are some. There are some who are preaching Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Some preaching from selfish ambitions with a selfish motive. Okay, well, we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ on that final day of judgment when the Lord comes again. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And so God knows exactly not only what our actions have been, but what our motives have been, what our mindset has been, what our behavior has been. We look a little bit further in Philippians and chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Now there's selfishness again. He said, look, don't let selfishness be your motive, your driving force. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And conceit a lot of times goes right along, hand in hand, with selfishness. but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Well, there's the problem, isn't it? The idea of esteem is to hold a person in a position of respect and even honor, perhaps. And that lowliness of mind, a lot of us, boy, we cannot abide that idea. Lowliness of mind, we think that's an insult to us. It's not. It's the idea of humility, of being humble. Over and over again in the scriptures, we're warned that he who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself before God will be exalted. But we have this temptation the devil sticks in our head. You need to exalt yourself. You need to build yourself up in the eyes of others. And some people, when they carry that to an extreme, they really are probably kind of being, kind of exhibiting a disorder called narcissism. Everything's got to be about them all the time. Well, Paul says, don't let anything be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, humbling yourselves. You humble yourself properly, and you still do the right things, God's going to exalt you. And probably other people are going to look at you and respect you for how you're acting. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now remember that definition of selfishness? Focused on your own interests, your own desires, your own perceived needs, whether they're true needs or not, your own wishes as being more or most important while ignoring the interests, desires, needs, wishes of others. It is to be self-seeking, self-centered, self-interested, and even egotistical and egocentric at times. Well, Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Put others in front, above you at times. You don't need to go sit down at the head of the table. Sit off to the side. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Think about, recognize the needs of others and try to help them in those needs. Instead of just ignoring those needs and those people and just being focused all the time upon what you want and what your perceived needs are. Now that lowliness of mind, remember the great invitation that Jesus extended to all mankind to come to him. Matthew 11 verses 28 and 29. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. See, Jesus exhibited lowliness of mind, lowliness in the way he presented himself. Now, did he stand up for who he was and is? Absolutely. He openly taught that he is God the Son, the Savior come to earth, the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. Openly taught that. But not arrogantly. He humbly went to that cross. When he was questioned by some of the authorities, including the Roman governor Pilate, mostly he just kept silent. Now, when he was directly asked, are you a king? Pilate asked him that. And he said, I have come to be a king. But not the kind of king Pilate was thinking of. Are you the Son of God? Well, he answered yes to that. But his response to most of the questioning was just simply being silent, humbly allowing himself to be put through all of those mock hearings and humbly surrendering to go to the cross and be brutally executed. He left heaven. Well, in fact, next time we're going to get into a little further, another context within the letter to the Philippians, and we're going to look at the example of Jesus that he left us. And he left us an example of selflessness rather than selfishness, exactly opposite of selfishness. And we should learn tremendous lessons from his example before us in leaving heaven, allowing himself to come to this earth in human form, so thereby lowering himself a little bit below the angels, and then lovingly, humbly allowing himself to be ridiculed, beaten, and crucified on that cross. What an example he left us. Now, let me leave you with this before we close today. Look into your heart. Are you living with, are you exhibiting in your life selfishness? Are you focused primarily upon what you want? Have you, or maybe I should ask, when was the last time you stopped and carefully thought, what does God want me to do? What does God want from me? And beyond that, what can I do to help somebody else? Let's pray. Father, help us to not be selfish. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves before you and even before others. Help us to be an example of godliness, of service, and never to be an example of selfishness. Help us to help others see you in us. Please forgive us, gracious Father. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.